Well, I want to take you on a little bit of a journey with the Lord. And I will be using a little bit of the Amplified for a couple of verses that I want to share with you. We've been talking about maturity in Christ and growing up in the Lord. And I'd like to take you to another level with chapter 9 of Hebrews. Chapter 9 of Hebrews. We're going to be concentrating on one verse. So, Father, let your Holy Spirit bring an anointing upon this word so that it will come to life and bring much great and joy, much grace and joy. Amen?
Amen.
The Amplified says, even so it is that Christ, having been offered to take upon himself and bear as a burden the sins of many, once and for all, will appear a second time. Why is he coming a second time? Do you ever ask yourself why he's coming a second time? I have. In fact, my religious background would have created all kinds of things, but this is what the word says. Not carrying any burdens of sin. Why? Nor deal with sin. It's done, but some people are still carrying it. So I want this verse to be hopefully drilled into your head. Okay? But he's coming a second time to bring to full salvation. What does full salvation imply? Aren't you saved already? What part of you is saved? Your spirit is saved. How many have ever had a few problems with their brain? How about the emotions? Thank you. How about your mouth? Thank you. Does that need salvation?
Yes.
Thank you. That's the next level.
What verse?
28.
Thank you.
So what is he doing? Hebrews chapter 9. He will appear a second time, not carrying any burden of sin, nor to deal with sin, but to bring to full salvation. And I would suggest you put a circle on the word full. Those who are eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting him. Why do you need to have an expectation of his coming in the second time? Because if you don't expect him, you ain't going to see him. Otherwise, he wouldn't make it this clear. You are to have an expectation of his return to bring you into the fullness. Now, how is he going to show up? Like living water coming from under the threshold? From within, bursting out of you. Bursting out from you. Now I've got another scripture. I want to take you there. 1 Thessalonians 5. Amplified again, because the amplification will give you a greater understanding. Verse 23. St. Paul is making it clear. May the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. That's spirit, soul, and body when he spells it out. But it's sanctification that is coming to be done. It's not completed. You might say, oh, well, I've had a happy day. I've got a victory today. And all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, it's crisis time. Come on, am I the only one? Somebody says something and you just... And you live under the rug for the next 3 hours. Huh? Think about it. When you are sanctified through and through, that is separate you from profane things, make you pure, wholly consecrated to God. Whew. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Wholly consecrated to God. By whom? By whom? By Him. When He comes the second time, that's what He's coming for. And some people are still waiting for Him to beat up the Antichrist. I've got news for you. The Antichrist is between your ears. The one that can't stand you and can't stand the Spirit of God in you is the Antichrist. Don't look out there. Look in here. He wants to break you. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to do everything wrong.
Amen.
Thank you. People are looking for an Antichrist personality. Yeah, there may be one, but you know what? The one that gives you a hard time is between your ears. He's the Antichrist. He's the anti-anointing. What is the anointing? Ah, we'll go there in a minute. I'm going to read it again. This time I want you to repeat it with me, because if you don't have the Amplified, it's not going to say the same thing. Just close your eyes if you don't have the Amplification. And repeat after me. And may the God of peace Himself sanctify me through and through. That is, separate me from profane things. Make me pure. Wholly consecrated to God. And may my spirit and my soul and my body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah.
At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah.
The second time.
The second time.
Now that's not complicated. Because you see, if you take those two verses together and you look at them very clearly, it says, and He will appear a second time, not carrying burdens of sin, not to deal with sin, but to bring to full salvation those who are eagerly, constantly, patiently waiting for the and expecting Him. See, the biggest irritation in my life has been to get rid of the religious. The religious training that got me so boggled that I couldn't buy the truth. Because the truth seemed to be so simple. Anybody notice St. Paul ain't that complicated? His words are very, very clear. When we get all this other stuff in there, and we start worrying about what the devil has done, and what the devil's about to do, and what the Antichrist is going to do in the earth, you know what? Which earth is he talking about? Is this made out of earth? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in me, as it is in heaven. So you're bringing him down inside of you constantly. Instead of finding a problem, expect him to return with the fullness of his salvation, and you will find freedom. And the Antichrist is not going to be a picture of such a horrible lifestyle that may happen. I can guarantee you, and if God could take the Israelites out of Egypt and then get Egypt out of the Israelites, He can do it with you. You say He didn't do it to so many. You're right. He did it with two. Joshua and Caleb. Now He's coming to set all of His people free. What is it going to do? It's going to create havoc. It's going to create such jealousy that the darkness will be vibrating its venom on every level. That's why it says it will be good days and it will be bad days. It'll be awesome days for the believers, and it will be so horrible for the darkness, because they won't be able to handle your light. Amen?
Amen.
And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Now, the word Christ. Can anybody tell me what the word Christ means?
The anointed one.
Are you expecting Jesus to be the anointed one?
Yes.
Is he anointed in just one level, such as we, with a deposit of the Spirit?
No.
No. He is fully anointed. Fully anointed of the Spirit. It also means, if you were to look up in the Greek, it would mean rubbed in or smeared on like oil. And when we anoint with oil, we rub it in if it's the type of oil that we were using today. What are we looking for? We're looking for you to have a different understanding. It is not Jesus' last name. It's not Jesus Christ. It is the anointed one, the Messiah. You're right. But that Messiah is alive in me and what? In a deposit with more to come. So the fullness of him, when it begins to manifest through me, I begin to see changes in myself. And it's gradual. It builds and it builds and it builds until maturity starts to form. And I get less bent out of shape when something falls apart.
Amen.
It's true, isn't it? It's not so bad because I have a reminder. The Holy Spirit says, come on, cool it. Don't get bent out of shape. It's going to work. Okay? Last Wednesday morning, my wife and I went to Maine to take care of our two little grandsons. And their daddy had surgery on Thursday. Well, I had an appointment for an eye exam because I broke my glasses Sunday before. And I needed, after 2.5 years, to be checked again before I was going to replace glasses with an old prescription. Didn't happen. So I made an appointment, and I did it on Friday so that it would make it a little more time at the other end. And so I drove back, and I stopped to see Juliet. Those of you who know Juliet, it was a nice little visit. And she's 90, going to be 96 in November. And anyway, to make a long story short, my wife calls me on Saturday and said, well, they had to take the daddy back to the emergency room because there was a lot of pain. It was very, very difficult, and there was too much bleeding, etc., etc. And she says, I really had a bad feeling when you were leaving, but I didn't say anything because she says, I knew that you were supposed to go. She says, but I would have wished you were here. And I said, okay, but it's just going to be fine. She says, well, I'm going to stay for another week. So I've been a bachelor. I'm not used to that. The house is kind of big. But it's okay. To make a long story, again, as short as possible, what it has done is it has freed me to do things that I normally don't do. And a little more freedom, because sometimes you have to be thinking about the other person when the other person is in the house. And I'm not anti-woman now. And I'm not anti-wife. I'm just telling you, it's different. Can you guys relate?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's not a bad thing now. Uh-oh, we're getting some few stares. It's okay, ladies. Relax. We don't want you to go away. What I'm saying is, there's a different anointing in the house. And there's a different place for me to walk. In different ways, actions and reactions that are different. But I want to give you some scriptures that I pray will help you. And these are who I am in Christ, who I am in the anointing. And they're from the NIV, so they're not hard to quote. John chapter 1, verse 12. I am God's child. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Notice it's the right
to become, depending on your choices. John 15:15. As a disciple, I am a friend of Jesus Christ. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friend. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known unto you.
Romans 5:1.
I shared that a while back because we had a whole lesson on, I have been justified. I have been made righteous. Therefore, since we have been justified or made righteous through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17. I am united with the Lord, and I am one with Him in spirit. Notice it's in spirit. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with Him in spirit. What's the next level? When He comes and He becomes the fullness of us, and we are manifesting the next level in our soul and in our body. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. I have been bought with a price, and I belong to God. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Did you get it? Temple. Who is in you? You have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Is it compulsory? Is it compulsory? Or do you have an antichrist bouncing in once in a while? How many have antichrist bouncing out once in a while? Thank you. The flesh screams sometimes. Or, of course, never happens to you guys. But it's happened to me. And I don't want to talk about it, but I'd rather let you know that when you are having a test and you don't pass, you have an advocate. An attorney. And I could go there, but I'm not. 1 Corinthians 12:27. I am a member of Christ's body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Ephesians 1:3-8. I have been chosen by God and adopted as His child. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. In Christ. Notice again, it's in the anointing. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world. Woohoo! Before the creation of the world, God had you in the anointing. Before you came into your mother's womb, the Lord knew you. Jeremiah 1. Watch again. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Notice that connects with these two other verses in Hebrews 9 and in 1 Thessalonians 5. To be holy and blameless in His sight, in love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But what it does is, I pray it will change your attitude about who you are. If you start declaring these verses at different intervals, depending on which ones that fit you, you will start changing the way you think about yourself. And when you start thinking about yourself without all the guilt and condemnation, the blessings of God will enter your heart and His healing will definitely manifest. But when you're constantly in accusation of yourself and finding fault with yourself, you will be outsourcing Romans 8:1.
God says there's no condemnation to you because you're in Christ. And you better check the closing verses of that same chapter. Because you see, if you get God's opinion of you, you'll be changed.
I am not what the world says I am. Try it on. I am not what the world says I am. I am what God says I am. And today, I am stepping into my end time destiny. Try it one more time with your hands lifted high. I am not what the world says I am. I am what God says I am. And tonight, I'm stepping into my end time destiny. Hallelujah. Watch me mature.
Watch me grow up.
Watch me manifest His love,
His peace,
His joy, and His fullness of joy. Every day. Hallelujah. Share some hugs.